I'd like for you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to the Gospel of Mark. In a few moments, we're going to be into the Word of God that I'm sure will be a real blessing to the hearts of our people again tonight. And I'm quite confident it's going to be a little different than most Sunday nights for many of our people. During the years of our work in Van Wert, Ohio, much of the ministry of this teaching ministry was born. I used to spend from 8:30 in the morning till 2:30, 3, 4 o'clock the next morning working the Word of God in its minute accuracy from Genesis to Revelation. I did this for year after year and month after month. During that period of time, we had associated with us some wonderful young people and adults for which we're truly grateful. And we began writing and publishing things as we found them in the Word. And during those years, I published what is called your mountaintop checkbook. This checkbook has in it 10 blank checks. There are 10 blank checks in the Bible. All 10 of these are in this little booklet called your mountaintop checkbook. Many of our people across the nation have used these as gifts among their Sunday school classes and among adults and their friends at the birthday time or special occasions, just to give them a copy of it and people to have the opportunity of seeing these 10 wonderful blank checks in the Word of God. I would like to read to you what it says in the flyleaf or the cover of this mountaintop checkbook tonight before I go into the scriptures, and we're going to cover all 10 of them tonight, the blank checks that are in the Bible. And I'm sure that as we cover them, they'll be real meaningful for every one of us here tonight. But in the flyleaf or in the cover, inside cover of this particular checkbook, we have a place where you can write your name, as they do many times in checkbooks, private and so forth. You can put your name and say, well, this one belongs to Mrs. John Jones or Mr. Herman Williams. This one says your name in account with the Bank of God. How wonderful it would be for you when you, with your conscious and subconscious mind, respect the promises of God with the same fervency as mankind honors the names and checks of men. Think for a moment of the possibilities, the miracles that will come to pass when you consciously and subconsciously begin to honor and respect the name of the Father here upon earth as it is hallowed in heaven. Our Heavenly Father has left us numerous definite checks for definite needs. Furthermore, in His infinite wisdom and foresight, He left us 10 blank checks, 7 of which we may write in whatsoever we need, and 3 which we may fill in with anything. Gilt-edged securities issued by the most financially sound corporations in the United States are not as sound as the promises of God. Wall Street effectuates fluctuations in the value of your money in the bank, but the promises of God have suffered no fluctuation in any way whatsoever. The resources in the vault of the great Bank of God are not only unlimited and infinite, but the same always. For neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor do thieves break through and steal. A remarkable privilege is yours, in that you may reuse and reuse and reuse the blank checks over and over again with a new set of requests and desires. The more these checks are used, the more powerful and meaningful they become. And thus I invite you by believing faith to step up to the cashier's window of God's love and bravely countersign His promises, saying, Father, I believe Thy promises. And the first check in the Word of God is given in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall what? Have them. This is the first blank check in the Word of God. As I said, there are many, as I said in the flyleaf of this mountaintop checkbook, there are many promises of God to individuals specifically. But there are in the Bible only 10 blank checks. And this is the first one. And it's what things soever. What things soever. If you'll note context here, you will note that he has just given the greatest law in the world, which is the law of believing. For this relationship that Jesus had with the apostles that so upset Peter and the rest of them, when they were coming toward Jerusalem and they saw that this fig tree had been dried up from its roots, died backwards, and Peter calling to remembrance what had occurred according to verse 21, he said, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is what? Withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith, have believing in whom? For verily in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24, Therefore, because of your believing, and because of who God is, and God is faithful to his promises, therefore, verse 24, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. When you pray, kneel down. No. When you pray, stand up. No. When you pray, close your eyes. No. When you pray, keep them open. No. When you pray, do one thing. What? Believe. Hasn't got anything to do whether you're sitting down or standing up, whether your eyes are open or whether they're closed. But when you pray, has everything to do with your believing. When you pray, believe. Believe what? Well, it says believe that ye receive them. The things that you have prayed for, believe that you receive them. The original text gives it, believe that you have received. Believe that you've already got it. Believe it's already yours. Believe that you have received, and ye shall, future tense, absolute. Ye shall absolutely have it. That's remarkable. You see why few people really tap great spiritual resources? Because we believe in the gilt-edged securities and the word of the banker more than we do in God's word. Because man's word has gained preeminence today over the word of God. Because people have not been taught the word of God. They just think they know it. They haven't really been taught the word, and the word doesn't fit for them because they all believe there must be oodles of errors, tremendous complications, difficulties, discrepancies, interpolations. And when you have that idea of the Word of God, you cannot have believing faith in it. Right? And this is why we're not seeing the results, because we are not believing. Believe you've got it. Believe it's already yours, and ye shall, in the future tense, have it. If you do not do that, you'll never get it. You know, this future tense, someplace in the back of my Bible, I have this note on the tenses. It's just a little complicated for me to remember all these things. But I've given this before to our people in the classes about I will and you will and I shall and you shall. Remember that? I've got it. I've got it. It's back in here someplace. In the singular and plural, listen to this again. And if you do not have this written down, it might help you to write it down too. Maybe you're no more intelligent than I am on some of these things. You can't remember everything. I'd like to remember everything, but I can't always remember everything. But you know, one says it wasn't a smart man who could remember it all. The smart man was one who knew where to go to find it when he needed it. So I don't know if all of you men are smart enough to remember everything. I'm not. But many times I like to be wise enough in the things of God that I know where to go to find the answer. Well, this happens to be in the Philemon. In the singular and plural, first and second person, we're now talking grammar. Good old English grammar, which I used to make D's and C's. When I did real good, I made C's. When I didn't do quite so good, I made a little S. But we won't talk about those days. I will means absolute. I shall means simple future. You or they will, now you're up there in the plural, you or they will denote simple future. You or they shall denote absolute. Now that's English. That's grammar. That's a law. Then go back to Mark and see how he puts it. I say unto you, what things soever you desire. When you pray, believe. When you pray, believe that you have received them, and ye shall makes it in what tense? The absolute. You shall absolutely have them. Now, people, you have only two questions, really, I suppose. One, is it the truth, or did God lie? That's all. Did Jesus tell the truth, or did he lie?